Thank you, Mark, and everyone. It's good to see you this morning, virtually. I'm in my home studio, which is a very unique situation compared to how we used to do this in person, but I'm glad we're able to persevere and do this anyway. Man, Thomas Edison is credited with 1,093 different inventions, including the light bulb, the phonograph, motion picture camera, typewriting machines. During his life, he had more patents than anyone else in the world. In fact, for 65 years straight, he was granted at least one patent per year. And by his own reckoning, when people would talk to him, he would say the secret to success was not that he was a genius. He didn't think that he was. He thought the secret to success was that he persevered. If we look at one of his inventions, which is a light bulb, it's something that we might just take for granted every day. We turn our lights on. But Edison tried 600 different materials before he found the right one to serve as a filament in the light bulb. He says that he had 10,000 failed experiments to get to the final product of a light bulb. And so I just think about, what if Thomas Edison had quit after 100 or 1,000 tries, or even 9,000 tries? Think how life would be different for all of us. Edison once said this: our greatest weakness lies in giving up. Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time. We've all heard the saying, quitters never win, and winners never quit. This morning, we're looking at one of the oldest books in the Bible. Job had every reason to quit, but because he persevered, because he didn't give up, over 3,000 years later, we are still telling his story. So we're going to start in the first chapter of Job, and we're starting Job 1:1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job, and this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people in the East. We look in verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves to the Lord, and Satan came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." And so what happened was the Lord said to Satan, "Obviously you're going around tempting people, but have you considered Job?" And the Lord says, "There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless, upright. He's a man who fears God and shuns evil." And I'm sure Satan, with a little snicker, replies, "Does Job really fear God for nothing?" And he goes on to talk about how he put a hedge around him. And, you know, obviously, Job serves the Lord because of everything that God has done for him and made him rich and blessed him with a family and all this respect. And so the Lord says to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger." And Satan left. And so the story fast forwards, and one day all of Job's children were at the older brother's house, and a messenger came running over to Job and told him that, you know, they were under attack and their donkeys were killed, and all the servants were killed, but he escaped to tell Job this. And while he's telling Job this, another messenger runs up and says, "You're not going to believe this, but the fire of God, which was lightning, came from the heavens and hit our sheep and burned them and killed them." And while he's telling the story, another messenger comes up and says, "You're not going to believe this. We just got attacked. Someone stole your camels and they killed those that were watching your camels. I barely escaped." And then a last messenger comes up and says, "Unfortunately, all your children have been killed. A storm came, knocked down the house. They were all buried in it and all killed." And so we're going to pick up in verse 20. "At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. And then he fell to the ground in worship and said, 'Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised.' And in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." Talk about a man who had it all. I'd call it the trifecta. He was healthy, he was happy, and he was holy. He had a beautiful wife, 10 children, land, possessions. I think today we would refer to him as filthy rich. But unlike a lot of people we think of today that are filthy rich, he was very respected throughout the land, and people knew he had a heart for God. And even God knew that Job was special, which is why he let Satan tempt him. But Satan questioned Job's sincerity and motives. And he said, clearly Job loves God and serves God because of everything God has done for him. He then asked God for permission to test Job's faith, and God lets him. God knew Job's heart, just like he knows ours. And so in the blink of an eye, Job loses it all. Thieves steal his livestock and kill his servants. Lightnings kill his sheep and shepherds. His children are killed in a storm. And if that's not enough, later on in the book, we learn that he was physically destroyed by having his body covered in sores. He had nothing left but his faith in God. I think life like that can happen for many of us sooner or later. I'm sure there's men this morning on the call that are experiencing this right now. We can be hit out of nowhere by events we never anticipated, and we can certainly be tempted to quit. Sometimes I think men just get tired of trying and might want to quit. Have you ever had a plan and then it doesn't go as planned? I love this quote by Mike Tyson in an interview. He says, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And sometimes it's hard to get up when we've been knocked down. But when we look at Job, we can study him and learn three really important things. And the first thing we can learn is that we will face problems that will make us want to quit. And so the next time you feel overwhelmed by problems, go read the book of Job. I'm certainly not saying it'll make you feel any better at first, but it might help you put your problems in perspective. Because in one day, he lost everything. And I think many of us would ask, why me? But in the book Mark referenced, Character Still Counts by James Merritt, the author of James Merritt says this. He suggests we should ask ourselves, what should I get out of this? And he goes on to say, life's difficulties are not meant to defeat you, depress you, or even discourage you. They are meant to develop you. Men, we will face problems that make us want to quit. And when that happens, we will likely hear people to tell us to quit. After Job lost everything, he probably didn't see what he had coming next. The people closest to him told him to quit. His wife encouraged him to curse God and take his own life. Job 2:9 says, his wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. Job continued to do the right thing by not responding in the wrong way. Throughout the book, you see that he later confronts God, but he never curses God. But then his closest friends gathered him and tried to convince him to quit as well. And this is what they said to him. They said, Job, God is holy and he punishes sin. And so if he punishes sin and God is punishing Job, then therefore Job has sinned. And Job has done something wrong in getting what he deserves. Everyone Job trusted was telling him to quit. Man, we will hear people tell us to quit. But we must have perspective that ensures we don't. I think most people want to blame Job if he had thrown in the towel. Most people would have thrown in the towel. A lot of people do. But let's go back and look at the passage at the end here. At this point, Job got up, tore his robe and shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground in worship. And he says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. What a great example of someone who didn't wallow in self-pity. He didn't walk away from God. He didn't blame God. He didn't blame others. He went to God in worship. No bitterness, no whining, no cursing. Over 1,000 years later, James, brother of Jesus, said this. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Perseverance is the reason James referenced Job. And perseverance is why we're still talking about him today. Martin Luther King said this about not giving up. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. Men, we must keep moving forward, especially in times like today. And what does that look like? I think we don't give out in difficulty. And what I mean by that is don't stop when you're halfway up the mountain. Last weekend, my son and I, Saturday morning, hiked up Stone Mountain. It was amazing to see how many people give up before they get to the top. Don't give in to discouragement. And that don't mean like, don't just try to avoid failure, but learn how to handle it correctly. Do you see a setback as a reason to quit or a reason to recommit? And then lastly, don't give up on your goals and dreams, especially if they're worth fighting for, but be prepared to fight. There's an old naval expression, which I love, and it captures the spirit of perseverance. When a captain was heading into battle and he knew that surrender was not an option, he would order that his colors be nailed to the mast. And what that meant was his colors, the flag for the ship, would be nailed to the top of the mast so that no one could lower that flag. Because when he lowered the flag, that was a sign of surrender. And he was not entering into this battle where surrender was even an option. Victories take place when we move forward. I suspect for some of you, this message might be hard to hear because you're facing unprecedented uncertainty. I personally have become sick of the phrase unprecedented uncertainty. But it's what we're facing right now. And the COVID-19 crisis was not in anyone's stress test. This has been tough for everyone. I have friends whose business is falling apart right in front of them. I have other folks that have had to make difficult decisions about letting people go because they can't afford to keep them on payroll. This is a really tough time. I was speaking to a good friend the other day, and he's in the hotel business. Imagine being in the hotel business today. I asked him how he was doing, and he said, "I'm just trying to hold my breath longer than everyone else." He went on to explain that he lived in California for a long time. He took surfing lessons. His instructor once said to him, "The difference between a good surfer and a great surfer is the great surfer can hold his breath longer. At some point, if you're determined to be a good surfer, you will hit that wave that pummels you and sends you to the bottom of the ocean. Great surfers can hold their breath longer than good surfers, so they can then get back up and try again." I was reading this book by Jocko Willink, and he had this to say about failure, and I want to share it with everybody. Fear of failure can keep you from taking the risk. It can leave you sitting there, paralyzed, into not taking action. And that is obviously bad. But I don't want you to overcome fear of failure. I want you to be afraid of failure. Because fear of failure is good. Fear of failure will keep you up at night, planning, rehearsing, going over contingencies. Fear of failure will keep you from training, will keep you training hard. Fear of failure will stop you from cutting corners. Fear of failure will keep you working, thinking, striving, and relentlessly trying to be more prepared for battle. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says this: "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into each of our hearts through the Holy Spirit." Job did not quit. He did not give up. He did not quit on God. During these difficult times, it's important that we don't give up. At Leadership Ministries, Mark mentioned that I first visited my father over 20 years ago. Our mission is to develop and equip men to be faithful leaders in our marriages, in our homes, and our workplace. And as leaders, men, we each need to lead by example. Our family, and that's our wife, our children, our siblings, our work colleagues, our friends, they need to see us persevere. And we need to show them that we're able to do so because of our faith in God. So men, the challenge today, do not give up. Continue to persevere. And you will find the prize if you don't give up. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. On this weekend, we especially lift up those who served our country and persevered in ways that many of us could never imagine, so that we can have our freedom. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the leadership example he set for each of us. Please be with every man this morning and help them to be the leaders that you intend them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.